Now, when you were growing up, you grew up on your mother and father's belief system, and that everything you did, you fractionalized according to that belief that has been memorized by the brain. How many of you understand? So be it. Now, when you did something wrong, you were chastised. And you were told, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. So the brain associates doing that with bad or forbidden. How many of you understand? So then when you go to do it as an adult, you have a sense of guilt doing it. But what is guilt? Guilt is nothing more than 30 years ago when you were a little child, you did it and they said you shouldn't do that. And while you were associating what you were doing, someone telling you you shouldn't have done that is as impactful as the hornet stinging your foot. And so that concept of that experience 30 years ago, along with chastisement, created a feeling inside of the body electrically. That feeling is stored in every cell of the body, as well as in the hippocampus as associative memory. So, you go to do it today, and you still feel bad about it. And the badness is because it's associated with the first experience. When I talk about associative memory, then you have to look at the way you think. Thinking is associative memory. When you sit down and you think about something, or you read something, or you see something, and you start thinking about it, where is thinking coming from? Thinking means that that visual inspiration created a spontaneous brain reaction by pulling up every memory that associates itself with the view, or the word, or the feeling, or the touch. And so now, the personality that you have, that you're so proud of, is nothing more than the cumulative effect of associative memory. And so what you consider yourself, is nothing but memory. That memory has associations. Here's where people have a problem separating a stream of consciousness from thinking. They say, well, what is a thought? Well, is a thought the process of thinking? No, it isn't. The process of thinking is chemical memory of association running through the frontal lobe, flashing like this, associating pictures. It's putting puzzles together for you that it knows. That's thinking. That's not a stream of consciousness. So when a person is intellectually involved in a conversation of which he is having to answer or participate in a particular level of thought, He is participating from his intellectual self. His intellectual self, his left brain, is espousing, as it were, associative memory. So a thinker is not necessarily enlightened. A thinker is a brain that has the capacity for brilliant memory. That's what it is. So turn to your neighbor and explain that so far. We may begin. Associative memory, describe a strand of memory, how the brain uses it, the hippocampus stores it. May begin. Now I want you to remember, we are only here for an evening. This takes a while to put a lot of your training together in a linear flow. You have to learn about consciousness and energy, you have to learn about the brain, you have to learn how it chemically works. You have to study its anatomy in some detail and be familiar with it. Then you have to have experiences that confer that to you. And then once you get a premise of it, then we come back to the concept of God and consciousness and how it works to create energy that then collapses into forms. You have to have a linear stream of ideas that bring all of this together, because the concept is to create reality by creating unknowns from the fabric of knowns. Now, remember, we only have an evening. I would like for you to stay with me for fortnights, and then we will really talk about all of this and get it into perspective. But for this evening, while I have you, we have to glaze across the surface of some of this, and you're going to have to put in between the lines what you have learned. Now, advanced group, you're going to learn a great deal more about this than obviously you're going to learn in this evening, or the beginners were capable because of the level of study that you're at. But since it was their place of study in the retreat, we're going to talk about it tonight in the context of how do you create your life, and if you go back to your old life, what can you expect and why can you predict it? Now, if we understand coming back then to our original destiny was to make known the unknown, and it says, take of me and make whatever you wish. But the concept of wish and whatever and me are all abstract because there was no such thoughts. There was a building of thought. That thought then had to be frozen long enough so it could be built upon. In other words, if consciousness is a stream, then the only thing that stops it is a brain. And that brain then is specifically created to freeze the action of thought and hold it in a storehouse of energy. So that, the brain's concept of holding thoughts into memory is to freeze frames of consciousness. And when you freeze frames of consciousness and store them, then we use them to build an idea from. Ideas don't just turn on in your head. They must be longed for. And you must have been building something in order for the idea to appear. So the brain was created on one level to freeze consciousness into chemical, electrical energy that we call thought. And that thought then could be stored and compiled and segregated in a great library that could be called upon in a flash. And that this thought then would be different than the next thought that would be coming in. But they would be associated. And that your life, you would make the association by putting them together.